We're going to do this service a little bit different. You guys can be seated. You guys stay on stage. We're going to sing. I'll get us back singing real quick. And we'll close out the service with song. I want to encourage you to get the podcast because I really liked what I preached on this morning. But I feel like we're supposed to go in a different direction for this. I told this to the 11:30 service. Me and my wife were having coffee time. And coffee time is our version of a mini date because we have three kids. So oftentimes it's hard to take a break away and take a real date. Anyway, we had coffee time this past week. And during coffee time, we just talk. And a lot of times, it would shock you the things we talk about. And it embarrasses me as a man a lot of times, the things my wife has me talking about. I get her talking about sports, though, as well. So I guess it works both ways. But during coffee time, we just fellowship and we talk, and oftentimes we encourage each other's faith and just, you know, talk about what the Lord has been speaking to us and our devotionals, and it's just a life-giving time in every sense of the word. But anyway, we were talking about how Jesus has made us worthy, and that how we both had felt like in our own lives we had, for whatever reason, stopped dreaming as much and stop chasing after, pressing after our high calling. Paul said something very interesting. He said, I press after the high calling that is found in Jesus. See, there's a high calling for you. There's a high calling for you. And you know it. It's that part of you that's in you that knows there's more. There's that part of you in you that knows there's more. There's something more there. And there's that angst in our soul sometimes when we look in the mirror because we know there's a better father in me than it's out here. We know there's a better leader in here. There's more provision in here than is out here, and it frustrates us. That's our calling. And so many people, they never, ever, ever see that take place out here. They die with it still in them. Remember Miles Monroe talking about this. He said, the richest place in all the world is not the diamond mines of South Africa. It's not the oil fields of the Middle East. The richest place in all the world is the graveyard. He said, because in the graveyard, there are books that were never written. There were songs that were never sung. There were messages that were never preached. There were businesses that were never started. And there are many reasons why people die with things still in them. One of the chief ones is people get lazy. They let comfort kill their destiny. I refuse to let that happen to me. If I don't get it out, it's not going to be because I didn't work for it. I will not let laziness rob me of my destiny. But for many people, that's the issue. But it's not really the chief one. I would say, if I was to identify the chief reason why people die with things still in them, it's shame. And we started talking about this, the shame and how it works in people's lives that makes them diminish their dreams. And she told me the story. She said years ago when she was just, I guess, maybe 13, 14, she went out with this individual who was about to get married, and they were getting their toes done and nails done and all of these types of things. And so, you know, the lady who's there is doing the toes and nails, and she can tell it's a special occasion. So she said, well, what's going on? You know, why are you, you know, so excited and kind of getting the nails done? And she said, well, I'm getting married tomorrow. And she said, oh, so you're excited about the wedding? And basically she said, well, not really. And she said, well, what do you mean? And she said, are you in love? And she said, well, no, I can't really say I'm in love. And she said, well, is he in love? And she said, no, I can't really say he's in love. And basically it led to, well, then why are you getting married? And she said, well, he's the kind of man that I deserve. He's the kind of man that I deserve. And when I heard that, oh gosh, I can't say how that made me feel, because I have a little girl. And I could never imagine those words coming out of Ava Reese's mouth, that this is the kind of man I deserve. And so I know it's not God's best, and I know God has probably more for me, but because of the way I've lived, this is what I deserve. And for most people, they settle so much in life because they allow the shame of their mistakes, their sins, their faults, and their failures make them believe that they are not worthy of God's best any longer, so they never pursue it. And here's the thing in life, you never get anything you don't go after. And there's a part of us that never even attempts to go after more money because we don't believe we deserve it. We don't believe we're educated enough. We don't think we're smart enough. We don't think we're intelligent enough. So we don't even pursue. And there's a part of us that never even applies for certain jobs because we don't think we're worthy. Even though in our heart we know we could be more, we don't even attempt it because of our past. There's a part of us that has driven by a house and it's never thought it could live in a house like that. Never even dreamed of the possibilities of being able to live a life like that. Never dreamed of the possibilities of going on a vacation like that. In our minds, we see that as a life for everyone else. And the deceiver of men, Satan, sits on our shoulders and repeats to us our faults, failures, insecurities, and deepest fears until we completely forsake the image of God on the inside of us. And we allow shame to ruin us, inferiority to ruin us. I went to a conference in June, and I heard this speaker talking about this lady who took her boa constrictor over to the veterinarian because something was wrong with it. It wouldn't eat. So she took this, she had a pet boa constrictor, and she's a single lady. She had this boa constrictor, and she took it into the doctor because it wouldn't eat. And so she was concerned, you know, something's wrong with this big snake. Something's wrong with the boa constrictor. And so the doctor's looking at the snake and all of these types of things. And he realizes immediately what's going on. And he asked the lady, he said, "Do you ever sleep with the snake? Like put the snake in the bed with you?" She's like, "Yeah, all the time." She's like, "You know, I've had the snake for a long time and we're close. And you know, we just kind of hold, you know, she sleeps with the snake." And he's like, "Have you ever woken up and the snake is spread out as long as it can go, like straightened itself out beside you?" She's like, "Yeah, that happens almost every time." He said, "Well, I've got some good news. I've got some bad news." He said, "The good news is there's nothing wrong with your snake. He's perfectly healthy. He's perfectly healthy. The boa constrictor is perfectly healthy. The bad news is, for the last couple of months, he's been sizing you up and trying to grow big enough so that he can eat you in your sleep. And the reason why he hasn't eaten you yet is because he realizes he has to grow in your bed a little bit more, but once he gets to a certain size, he plans on swallowing you whole." Yeah. Which at which point, I hope she got rid of the snake. Or nothing else, put it back in the cage. But did you know your snake, ever since you were a little boy, ever since you were a little girl, you know what he's been doing? He's been sizing you up. And he studies you and he watches you. What would he be weak in? What would she be weak in? And he attacks and he attacks and he attacks and he attacks to try to get us over into sin. But here's the thing, sin is not the thing that destroys us. Oh, he's far more insidious than this. Sin is not the thing that destroys us. You know what destroys us? Shame. Picture Peter, sin missed it. "I don't know the man," three times. "I don't know him," three times. Did that take his destiny? No, he still could have had it. You know what took his destiny? When he caught the eyes of Jesus and realized he missed it. He forsook his calling, his high calling in Jesus, and he went back to a lesser life, a fisherman, when God had called him to be a fisherman of men. And God brought him out. And Jesus came and told Peter, "Do you love me?" He said, "Yeah, I love you." He said, "Well, if you love me, stop being the lesser version of you. Do you love me, Peter? I love you. If you love me, stop settling for a life on a seashore when I have called you to a life of standing before men. Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes, I love you." "If you love me, stop allowing shame to tell you you don't deserve more than this. Because Peter, I'm telling you, I've called you to feed my sheep. I've called you to feed my lambs. And if you're going to honor me, you honor me by being the person I created you to be and not letting shame rob you and take away the destiny that I created you for." Don't allow your snake to eat your destiny. Don't allow your shame, your past, to make you settle. You know there's a greater you in you. And the reason why it still belongs to you is not because you have made yourself worthy. It's because Jesus has made you worthy. You are son, you are daughter of God. And I know we sing it, but I often wonder if we recognize what we're talking about. I belong to royalty. I belong to the maker of the heavens and the earth. I belong to the one who can hold the universe in the palm of his hand. I belong to the one who walked on water and calmed the sea. I belong to the one who opens up blind eyes. I belong to the one that with him nothing is impossible. He is my Father. He is my Lord. He's my Redeemer. He's my friend that sticks closer than a brother. And because of that, there's nothing in this life I can't do. There's nowhere in this life I cannot go. There's nothing in this world I cannot believe for. Because Christ has made me worthy to approach the Father with grace and boldness. Stop allowing the enemy to eat and devour you and your dreams. Dream again, and dream based not off of your worth that you think you're worthy of. What's something worth? It's worth whatever somebody will pay for it. That's how you determine the worth of a thing. What is somebody willing to pay for it? And God determined your worth when he gave his only son, Jesus, for you. You're worth everything to him. If you're worth Jesus, Paul said, how much more shall he not give you all things? If you're worth Jesus, he certainly cares about your electric bill. If you're worth Jesus, he certainly cares about any sickness or disease that's in your body. Jesus affectionately cares for you. If he gave you Jesus, how much more would he give you all things? But you got to go after it. And you'll never go after it until you believe you deserve it. And friend, I'm telling you, you deserve his best because Jesus has made you worthy. And so I want to sing this song again. We'll start it from the top. And I want you to release any fear. I want you to release any security. And I want you to make a decision today that no longer will you allow the snake to devour your destiny, but you will boldly declare, I am a child of the living God, and I will go after the best version of me that is in me. And I will show God I love him by becoming that individual and allowing nothing any longer to be used in my life as an excuse as to why I can't be that person because Jesus has made me worthy. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and let's end this service with some worship. Amen. No longer slaves of our past, no longer slaves of insecurity, of worries, of fears, of doubts, no longer slaves, for we are children of the Most High God. You were designed for greatness. You were crafted for a unique purpose. Before you were ever in your mother's womb, you were assigned an assignment that has greatness written all over it. You were made for more than average. You were made for greatness. And nothing you can ever do will separate you from your maker or separate you from your mission but you. Satan can't. God won't ever let you go. But if you give up on you, if you give up on you, that's the only thing that can ever take away what God paid for. Don't give up on yourself. Fight for the greatest version of you and believe that greatness is all around you and in you. And you'll begin to see God unlock that box, pour out his grace, and make you all he created you to be. No longer slaves. No more shame. No more guilt. No more depression. If you've been wrestling with any of those things today, shame, depression, guilt, whatever it may be, at the end of service, I want you to come to the altar and allow our prayer team to pray with you and for you. We believe that in a moment of God's power, things can be broken off, that the anointing of God can destroy yokes, things that have been holding you back. And if you've been dealing with any of those emotions, I want to encourage you, God's power can reach you and touch you. So come to the altar and don't allow any insecurity to make you hold back. We'll have prayer room workers ready to pray with you and for you. We love you so much. I believe in you. I tell God all the time, I said, God, I just wish the people believed in themselves as much as I believed in them. I can't imagine what it must be like to be him, because I see so much more that God could use you for and do through you and in you. There's so many gifts in this room, so much talent, so much anointing. Fight for it. Don't give up on it, because it most certainly belongs to you. From the bottom of my heart, I love you. You're God's best. It's an honor to have you in this church. We'll be praying for you. You're dismissed. You're free. No longer slaves. Amen. We love you.